you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to join me this morning in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. This morning I want to talk with you as we look at Jeremiah. Many of you know the context of the world Jeremiah lived in. And today as we look at the text, I want to talk with you personally about going against the flow. Have you ever watched the Discovery Channel? You ever maybe even been there in those streams where you've seen salmon begin to swim as hard as they can back upstream? They're swimming, they're going against the current, they're fighting as hard as they can, and there's purpose for that. The reason they do that is because they're trying to get back upstream where they were born. The reason they're trying to get back upstream where they were born is because now it's time for them to go and give birth. It's time for them to go into this safe zone, this area where they were born. And then what happens is after they're born, they just kind of get out there in the river. They swim downstream for a little while. They spend about 2 years growing. And then it comes to that point in their life where they know it's time for them to turn around, to swim back upstream. There's some kind of a chemical reaction. There's something that happens chemically. They understand where to swim back to. They understand where their home was. Despite all the dangers that they're going to face, despite the struggles, despite the tribulations that they're going to experience, with all of their might, they turn around after about 2 years of growing and they swim back upstream. You know what would be the easy thing for the salmon to do? The easy thing for them would be to just kind of remain where they are. Kind of just be out in the sea, hanging out, just eat what they can eat, just kind of have some fellowship and enjoy, really just enjoy the company that they're in. But they know something. They know that if they want the future to be strong for those who follow them, then they have to make the sacrifice to swim upstream in the fresh water to lay their eggs, to spawn, to in order for the future generation to be able to have some success. You know, that's much like the world that you and I live in today. It's so easy to go with the flow, isn't it? The easy thing to do. We don't like to fight. We don't like to turn around right in the middle of the chaos. Everyone is going this way. The hardest thing to do is fight the crowd and make your way upstream. It's so difficult for us to do that. And so what we do is we just get in line with everyone else and we just play the game. We follow the leader. Easy to follow the leader. As long as there's someone in front of you, you can see what's coming up. And as long as you can follow the leader, even many times if they're leading us in a direction that we know biblically we're not supposed to go, we just go with the flow. We don't want to fight the traffic. We don't want to fight the emotional descent. We don't want to fight the chaos. We don't want to fight against it. And so we just get right in line with them and we follow the leader. But don't you know that God's greatest desire for you, for God's greatest desire for me, is at all costs we need to turn around many times and go against the flow the world is going. Why? Because when we go against the flow, our eyes are firmly fixed on Jesus. And with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, listen, we're bringing honor and glory to Him. And so the challenge for today, as you look at the Word of God, I want to share with you what was happening. Jeremiah's day, there were instances where they would turn to God after heartache, after rebellion, after trial and tribulation. They would come into the worship house and they would worship, but they would leave the worship house, go back out into the world, and they would live as the world lived. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in chapter 7. We saw that. They would go out into the world and they would do everything that the world was doing. And the world was creating false gods. The world was creating a false sense of security. The world was creating totem poles in which to worship. And they were doing that with the hands of man. And then they were being disobedient to the Word of God and they were bowing the knee to these false gods. But then they thought they were okay, as long as they came back into the house of God and worshiped. I want to share with you this morning that it takes more than you coming into the house of God to go against the flow of society. Going against the flow of the norm. Now, it's a little bit against the flow to show up here on Sunday mornings, but do we leave here having been changed by the power of God and His Word, or do you and I enter back into the world, back into society, and do we go with the flow because it's the easy thing for us to do? So as we look in the Word of God this morning, my prayer is that God would begin even now to burden your hearts concerning the direction you're going. That God begin to weigh heavy on you. We talked about Job this morning, and he was speaking to God, and he said, "Lord, if you would just reveal to me, if they could just understand that my grief was as many as the grains of sand on the beach, grain of sand on the shores." And I want to tell you, we need to have that kind of grief in our hearts when it comes to sin. We need to have that kind of grief in our hearts when it comes to us really trying to live for God in a very ungodly society. And we need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I don't know where you are this morning, but I want to ask you this. Do you need to do some adjusting in your life? Is there some challenging things that you faced and you found that it's much, much easier for you to turn and just go with the flow? And then you realize that going with the flow is not honoring God. And so this morning, listen to me at all costs as we look into the Word of God, as we see what was going on with Jeremiah, as God had spoken to the prophet, and the prophet had gone to the people, and he had spoken to the people, and they would repent, they would turn back to God for a moment, but then because of the societal norms, they would turn back away from God. And then they were so wishy-washy. It was such a roller coaster ride for them. They would worship God today and tomorrow they would sin. And they would worship God today and tomorrow they would sin. And they would worship God today and tomorrow they would sin. And I want to ask you, Christians, listen. I want to ask you, does that not sound like us? Does that not sound like today's church? And so the challenge today is for you to look into the Word of God, for you to hear God speak to your heart concerning how you and I are living our lives. Are we pleasing God, or are we just going with the flow? And there are three things that I want to submit to you this morning. So that I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word, Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I'll pardon her. Though they say, "As the Lord lives," surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they haven't grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, "Surely these are poor, they are foolish, and they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them. For they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf from the desert shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased." Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, as we look into your word, may it be powerful upon our hearts. Lord, may you speak to us in such a mighty way. May we have the eyes of our hearts open today. Lord, may the hardness be removed. May the callous be chiseled away. May we be able to hear from you in a magnificent, mighty way. Lord, we ask that any outside distractions be removed. Lord, we pray right now that Satan would be bound far from our midst, even as we pray that he would be put in chains. Lord, that he'd not have his way here today, but Father, that your Spirit would move upon our hearts so powerfully that'd be earth-shaking in our lives. Lord, that you begin to speak to our hearts even now. And Lord, in the midst of you beginning to speak to our hearts, in the midst of you convicting us where conviction is needing, in the midst of you encouraging us where encouragement is needed, Father, we just say thank you in advance because we understand and we know that it isn't about us. But Father, we pray and we ask in the name of Jesus, not our will, but your will be done. We ask today in Jesus' name, amen. So, as you hear a little bit about what's going on, it seems like it's been a pattern over the last several weeks. As we've been in the Old Testament, we see the children of God had moments where they had worshiped in mighty ways, where their hearts were filled with joy because their eyes were focused on the one true God, yet in the midst of, in the moments of, they're worshiping the one true God, something was leading them astray. Something was taking their attention off of their focus on God. And in the middle of their worship, they would find their hearts being led astray to the point that their hearts weren't fixed on God, but they were swayed so easily that as soon as they left the temple or the house of God, they would go back out into the world and they would fall right back in line and do everything that everyone else was doing. And so they weren't pleasing God. And God sent a prophet. He was speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was just one of the many prophets. I want you to understand there were four or five prophets during Jeremiah's lifetime who would go to the children of God and speak the word of God powerfully to them. And they would hear from the prophets, and they would understand what God was saying to them, but in the midst of them understanding and hearing what God would say, when the prophet left or the word of God was no longer presented to them, they would turn back to their foreign gods, the Baals, the totem pole gods, the god of the moon, the god of the stars, the god of the universe, instead of them trusting and believing in the one true God who created the stars and the moon and the sun and the clouds that are beautifully puffed up in the sky and the seas and the earth and everything that you and I see today. And listen to this, the one true God also created the things that you and I don't see today. So they'd be faithful, they would worship God in a moment, and then they would turn their back on God. And I just wonder where you and I are today as you and I look at our surroundings, not just here in Henderson, but at large. As you and I look into the world that we live in today, as we watch the newsreels day after day, as we see the things that are going on, are we not a people who are getting further and further and further away from God? Do we not see this? Yet, but listen to this, because there is hope, there is a remnant that remains, and you and I gather on Sundays where the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, and we have opportunity to have God speak to our hearts. But in the midst of God speaking to our hearts, it's up to us whether we're going to allow change to take place. Because God's not going to force it upon you. You have to decide whether you want change. And so as we look into the Word of God this morning, three things that I want to submit to you. Number one is this. As we talk about going against the flow, number one is don't allow sin to callous your heart. Do not allow sin to callous your heart. Listen to verses 1 through 3. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in our open places if you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I'll pardon her. God was about to slap some judgment down. And just like God did with Abraham, he looked at Sodom and he said, if you can find just a few righteous there in the city, then I'll pardon Sodom. And it got all the way down to 5, and God said to Abraham, if you can find 5, then I'll pardon her. I won't place judgment. Now as you look into the Word of God with Jeremiah, he goes on and he says this, now I'm not even concerned with 5, I'm just looking for one person. Can you find just one person in the streets? Is there anyone out there at all who loves me above everybody else? Is there just one person out there? Now, he wasn't talking about the prophets. He was talking about the common people in the street. And listen, it's plural. He doesn't say just go out there in the streets and look. He says, I want you to go to and fro. I want you to wear the streets out looking and see if you can find one person, one man who loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength and loves his neighbor as himself. That was the challenge. Now, you and I would think that that really wouldn't be that hard to do, wouldn't we? We would think if that were something, if that were a question that was posed to you and I today, you and I would think that we'd be able to go out into the community, into our streets, we'd be able to go to and fro, and surely to goodness, there's one person out there who loves God better than self. You would think that, right? But now I want you to look into your hearts, because reality is, we're selfish people. Reality is that we want to worship God when it's convenient for us. Reality is. And God said, that's not what I desire. What I desire is that you worship me even when it is not convenient for you. You understand that He is the one true God. And you do not make for yourself any carven images. You do not bow your knee to the false gods of this world. Because there can only be one Creator God. And there are no rivals to Him. And so you and I, you can't allow sin to callous your hearts. People today and then as well, they were immersed in godlessness. And there were dangers there. The dangers were of God's judgment. And you're going to see this as we continue to move on this morning. They were growing more and more resistant to God's truth. And I want you to think back, because I know the Word of God, and you understand that at a time, there was a time in the life of Israel when she was captive. For 430 years, she was in Egypt. She was enslaved. She was doing everything that the Pharaohs commanded them to do, building the pyramids, many other things, slave labor, day after day, week after week, hour after hour. And then Moses comes along and he says, let my people go. And ultimately, you know the story. After 10 plagues, after Pharaoh lost his son, he says, get out. Take the people and leave. And so they got together all of their belongings and they marched out of Egypt, making their way. And then they come to the Jordan. They look at this river, the Red Sea rather, and they look at it and it seems like it's a boundary that's keeping them from crossing over and experiencing true freedom, because right behind them they could hear the horses galloping. And then they see a miracle from God. Moses calls for his staff. He touches the water. The waters part. They walk across the water on dry land. And then the horsemen come and they follow after the children of God. They follow after them, and right in the middle of them chasing God's children, the waters collapse on them. They see this. The children of God, they see this miracle. They know that it's God's hand saving them and protecting them, placing that hedge of protection around them. They witness it firsthand, and no sooner than they get on dry ground on the other side of the riverbank, they begin to sin again against God. And so now there's wilderness wanderings. Wilderness wandering 101. They had gone away from where they felt comfortable, where every afternoon they would receive their meal, where they would have plenty to drink, where they had shelter over their heads, they had a pillow to lay underneath them perhaps, and they were fearful that they were going to be out in this desert and they weren't going to have all of these blessings anymore. And so they began to cry out. They began to want to go back. They wanted to turn around. Even though they had witnessed miracles from God, they wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt. You ever done that? Have you ever been moving forward with God and you're trusting Him with every single step, but something's coming up and it's difficult, the journey's hard, and then all of a sudden you think, I'm just going to go back because it was easier when I was over here. Life was simpler. I didn't have to worry or struggle nearly as much. And we do that. We just turn our back on God and in the direction that He would have us go. And as we look at this, we see that they had hardened their hearts to God. Their hearts had, just like Pharaoh's, their hearts had begun to callous. It means that skin had begun to thicken around the walls of their hearts. That they weren't able to hear from God when God spoke to them. And the same thing was taking place right here in Jeremiah's day. They began to harden their hearts. Their hearts were calloused to God. That's what the word says right here in verse 3. If I can find it. Right there. It says this, O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You've stricken them, but they haven't grieved. You've consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have hardened and calloused their hearts towards God. And so God was trying to get their attention. Let me tell you what God's Word says, because there's often in the life of God's children where we harden our hearts, where God's children harden their hearts. And so Matthew chapter 13, verse 15 says this, and the same scripture is also used in Acts chapter 28, verse 27. But listen to the Word. It says this, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Literally, the hearts of this people have calloused. That thick layer of skin has begun to build up around the hearts of God's people. It says that their ears are harder, a hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And there are many, many opportunities for you to see in the Word of God that the people of the earth, God's creation, they harden their hearts towards God. And they harden their hearts so much towards God that they can't hear the Word of God. They can't hear the voice of God when God is speaking to them. You know, there are times in our lives where we're reading something in the Word of God, and God, He's just pecking away. He's chiseling. He's trying to form you into a stallion for Himself. And what He's doing is He's chipping everything away that doesn't look like a stallion. And then the end result is that you're something marvelous for God. So many times, though, our struggles are we allow sin in this world to affect us in such a way and infect us in such a way that this callousness begins to grow and to build around our hearts. And so you and I, listen, as God's children, we can't allow our hearts to become like the hearts of the rest of the world. We've been sanctified, which literally means this, as God's children, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been set apart. You're right here one moment in your life, and God moves you and places you over here. God makes you something special. You become a holy people of God because of the sanctification of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you're different. There's something special about you. And you can't allow the world to rub off on you in such a way that your heart begins to harden towards God. Paul tells us that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to live here until God calls us home. But we're not to be of the world in such a way that we do the things they do simply for the ease of going with the flow rather than like the salmon, we go against the flow. Why should we go against the flow? Listen to me. Because just like for the salmon, there's life upstream. Even in the face of peril or danger or sword or of any kind, just as the salmon swims and he has to fight the current, he has to fight the bear, he has to fight the fisherman, just so he can make it back to the spawning pool and give birth again. You and I have got to fight it. We've got to go against the flow. We can't allow sin to callous our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 70 says this in the New King James. It says, their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It's what the psalmist said. And then Holman Standard says this, their hearts are hard and insensitive, but I delight in your instruction. And then the NIV, their hearts are callous and unfeeling. Again, it says, but I delight in your law. And the world's hearts are hard, and they can't sense when God's speaking to them. And even some believers have allowed this callous, this thick layer of skin to develop over their heart. Maybe because of life struggles and situations, you've allowed that to happen, and it's dulled your senses to the point where you can't hear when God's speaking. The spiritual smoke detector that God places in our lives. We live in sin for such a long time that when God speaks to us, we simply can't hear. Right when we're in the middle of sin, we can't hear because we've allowed our hearts to harden. And so what has to happen is you must not allow your heart as a believer, as a man or woman or child who loves Jesus, you can't allow your heart to be calloused because of sin. All right, number two is this. Can't allow sin to corrupt your influence either. You can't allow sin to corrupt your influence. I want you to look at verses 4 and 5 and listen to it. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, those who have allowed their hearts to be hardened. They do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. Then it says in verse 5, I'm going to go to great men and speak to them. They have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. And then listen to this. Circle that word but if you have a pen. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. What happens in our life is, I want you to know this, that corruption, that sin, it infects every level of society. There's no level of society that is void of corruption. I mean, no level of society. I'm talking about from the child to the adult, from the poor family to the wealthy family to the politician. It doesn't matter. No level of society is without corruption. What I'm saying is every level of life, there are people who sin and disobey God and His Word. Doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what level of wealth they have or possess. There's somebody in every level of society that has hardened their hearts towards God. Their hearts have been corrupted and they've turned their faces against God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 says this. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And you need to understand that even in the midst of your circle of influence, there are those because of who Satan is who wants to lead you astray. You know that, right? They want to influence your judgment. They want to influence the way you live your life, the decisions you make. Yet so many times we continue to go with the flow. Why? Because it's the easiest thing to do. We don't want to disrupt the current. We don't want to mess up the way the flow is going because we can walk hand in hand with these individuals and it's easy to do. That's why I say peer pressure is such an influence on our lives, and we have to, as parents, make sure that our children are having good influences in their lives. Because when they're at school, when they're out with their friends, I'm going to tell you, we do not know what they're doing. And it's really up to you to make sure they're having those good influences in their lives. And that means, parents, that you must love them to the Lord. You have to be the one responsible to teach them and train them in the way of righteousness. You have to be the Deuteronomy chapter 6 parent. You have to be that one who teaches your children when you walk by the way, when they rise up, when they lie down. You have to be the one. And then as you bring them to church, we encourage that. We help bring them along. We help train them in the way of righteousness for His name's sake. But it has to start at home, and we have to understand that bad company corrupts good character. So let me ask you this. Are there those in your life that you call friends who are bad influence on your character? Are there? Are there those in your life who are a bad influence on your godly character? And what do? Paul, Jesus, they interacted with these individuals. They interacted with these individuals so they could rub off on them. And you've got to be careful. I think we interact with them in such a way that we try and rub off on them. We invite them to church. We try and share with them our testimony so that they can see in our lives that God has done miraculous things. But when it comes to you hanging out with them for the sake of hanging out with them, you have to be a hands-off kind of a friend sometimes. Because you don't want to be corrupted. You don't want to be led astray. You don't want to be put in that corner where you have to make a decision to honor God or dishonor God. Because it's so hard sometimes to say no. And so know who your friends are. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says this, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So God has a perfect plan for us. God doesn't want us to indulge in the ways of this world. He doesn't want us to be tainted and stained with sin the way the rest of the world is. God's greatest desire is that we humble ourselves to the point where not only do we love one another, but we love those who are unlovable so that they can see Jesus in us. One of the hardest things for you and I to do is to love people to the point where they can see Jesus in us. It's hard. It's difficult. It isn't easy. But we're called to do it. We're called to humbly love people. Humbly love them so that they can see Jesus in you. And so we can't allow sin to corrupt our influence. Sin had corrupted the influence of these leaders. Even in the pulpits, sin had corrupted these leaders. And they were living for the world. Let me ask you this. How many times have you heard over the last 50 years this preacher had led people astray or this preacher had done something negative and it destroyed his ministry? Or even recently there have been examples on the news in our area where leaders have been caught red-handed disobeying the word of God. And you see this, that God, he even went to the great men to speak to them. They'd known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God, but they'd altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. And so the last thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Look at verse 6, and this is that you must be watchful for sin's attack. That's it. This is number 3. You must be watchful for sin's attack. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me share 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to this. Be alert and of sober mind. Sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So, if you believe the devil is real, say, oh me. If you believe he's real, say, oh me. Okay, so I think most of us will concur and we acknowledge the devil is real. And according to the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God, what you must understand is that what he's doing is he is prowling around like a lion. And he's looking for someone to devour. And do you know who he desires most to devour? Those who stray from the sheepfold. That's it. When you get alone, when you're by yourself, when you're away from those men and women who love Jesus, who are great influences to you, that's when the devil wants to pounce. He's not going to do it when you're in here in an inviting place where Jesus is being preached. He's going to wait until you get outside, and then he's going to tempt you with everything under the sun. And I want to tell you, he knows, don't think for a moment that he does not know what your temptations are. Men, look at me. The devil knows what your temptation is. Ladies, look at me. The devil knows what your temptation is. Make no bones about it. He knows exactly what your temptation is. Now, he's not omniscient like God is, but experience has told him over the years that he can try this, and if this doesn't work, then this will. And he knows, and he's prowling around, and he's seeking who he may devour. And so here's the question in closing is, how do you keep your heart from becoming calloused? How? How do you keep sin from corrupting your influence? And I think the answer to that is Matthew 26, verse 41. Well, what we see is Jesus is in the garden, and he's wanting to go and pray. And this is what he says. He says this to those who followed him. He said, watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. Just watch and pray. It's not hard. Watch and pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray. We've got to be on the lookout. This is what verse 6 says right here in Jeremiah. He says this, because of sin's stronghold. He says this. He says, therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. All of this is a picture of sin. All of this is a picture of sin. And so you've got to be watchful for this attack. He says, therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the deserts shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their city. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their sin or their transgression are many. Their backslidings have increased. The picture is for you to be watchful to the point that you're not deceived by the falsehoods and the lies that Satan is throwing at you. That you're not messed up by the pretty package that he wraps sin in. That you can see the fruit on the tree in the midst of the garden, but you still hear the word of God as he told you, do not touch it, lest you die. You hear him and you understand that, and you know that there's a point where the line has been drawn and you're to that, and this is as far as you go with temptation, because the next step is sin. You have to know where that line is. So you have to watch and pray, because the devil is pouncing around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. And so in a world, in a society where the easy thing to do is go with the flow, the challenge for you as God's children, as men and women who love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, the challenge for you is this. Not to go with the flow where sin reigns supreme, but to go against the flow, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, because there's life at the end. And it's life eternal. And so as long as you have to fight the current, you fight it. Because there's life at the end. Just like for the salmon, they make it. If they happen to make it, if a bear attacks, yet they slip the bear's jaws and they continue to swim, and then a fisherman throws a hook out and they see it, and that food looks inviting, that fly looks inviting, but they don't jump or pounce on that fly. Then they're able to continue to work their way upstream until finally they get back to that current that's peaceful and easy flowing and not aggressive and not dangerous, so that they can live their lives once again for the glory of God. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what situation you're facing. I don't know what challenges are appointed to you. But I do know the God of this book. And the God of this book desires you, right where you are, to be still and to know that He is God. So will you do that? As you fight the current flow, even as you move forward, will you allow your heart to be still and know that He is God? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the blessed name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for your word, for its transforming power in our lives. We want to thank you for speaking to us powerfully and mightily. We want to thank you for loving us to yourself. We want to thank you for showing us mercy when we don't deserve it. We want to thank you that you can speak to us in such a way that even in the midst of the world we live in, we understand the importance of stopping dead in our tracks if we're going against the flow and turning around and fighting to go back upstream, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on you. So I pray, Father, today in the name of Jesus, that if there are those who have gathered this morning, those who've been swayed and tempted to go with the flow, Lord, if you've been speaking to their heart in any way, I pray that you would convict them. Lord, that spiritual smoke detector would speak to them in such a way they would understand the importance of turning around and refixing and refocusing their eyes on you. Father, this morning, if there's even one person here who's gone with the flow their whole life and they've never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that today would be the day where they stand right out in the middle of the street, spiritually speaking, and they run as hard as they can against the cultural flow straight into your arms. That today they understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. So Lord, today I pray if there's decisions that need to be made, that you'd give us strength to make those decisions. We ask today in Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. You stand.